Welcome back to Lounging with Books. I'm Sophie.
And I'm Claire.
And today we're going to be talking about the Summer Bingo Reading Challenge, which our English department has come up with for our students. And we love working with the English department. They're very good at getting funding for reading, so we love this. And the idea behind it is that there's several categories that the students can pick from, and they have to pick a book that fits this category. So, for example, one of them's pick a book that has a character's name in the title. And if a child reads a book from that category, they get to tick it off their bingo list, and for every book they read, which they can tick off their bingo list, they get a raffle ticket. And then in September, the more raffle tickets you have, the more likely you are to win a prize.
Yeah.
So obviously English came to us and they were like, we know you're really good at reading YA. What recommendations do you have for our students? To which we then came up with a small reading list just to inspire them and get them going on what books they could choose for these categories.
Yeah, that was quite a difficult task because obviously we've got lots and lots of books that we would recommend for students to read. But I kind of narrowed it down to 12 books for each list. And we compiled that between ourselves, didn't we?
Yeah, so the categories are, they've got to read a book that makes you laugh, a book that's set in a different country, or a country that you've never been to, a book that has a person's name in the title, a book with magic, a book of less than 100 pages, a library book or a book from a charity shop, a book that you find challenging to read, a book with a female heroine, a book that your parent or carer read as a child, a book with an adventure, a book you chose because of the cover, a historical fiction or non-fiction history book.
I think the challenging one is the countries one.
Yes, I found that really difficult because a lot of the books that I've read, they have diverse characters in, but they're either set in the UK or America or Australia.
No, and you know, if you're reading fantasy, they're not set in any particular country as well. So fantasy adventures, so magic books and things like that. But anyway, you did come up with quite a few on that. Jess Butterworth, she featured twice in there because of When the Mountains Roared, which was India and Australia, and then Running on the Roof of the World, which is China and Tibet. And put Sophie Anderson in there because hers are Russia. So that's a nice unusual country. So I really liked that one. And what other unusual one have I got in there?
The Unpredictability of Being Human by Linni Ingemundsen. That was Norway, wasn't it? So I thought that was a nice one you added.
Some of the ones that are based in the different countries, like the Germany, Why We Took the Car, and that one you just mentioned, they're quite quirky books.
Mm. I mean, I think that's definitely something for me and you to work on as well, because that was, I would say, the hardest category to find books for. So something for us to look at, try and find books that are set in different countries ourselves.
Yeah. Which will be quite good because we are doing Around the World in 180 days.
So yes, that's our, we need our to find focus. Books. So if you've read lots of books that do feature in different countries, please let us know because we need recommendations ourselves. Now, the funny humour, I really struggled with this list because I don't find anything funny. Really, I don't really read funny books. I find them very bleh. So the only book I came up with was probably Eat Dirt by Goldie Mordovsky. I love that one. That's the only book that's really made me laugh. But you've read loads.
Well, I think I stuck in a few obvious funny ones there, like Annie Malcolm and by David Baddiel and Alice in Wonderland, Simon James Green. And then there are what I consider to be a few ones that you probably wouldn't look at them and go, oh, that's a funny book, but it is. It's got funny bits in it. So Sunny and Me by Ross Sayer, What's That in Dog Years, Ben Davis. They've got lots of other themes going on, but they primarily have a funny background to it. I think one of the difficult ones actually was the female heroine one, because I wasn't sure whether they were after somebody like a Katniss Everdeen character. And I didn't want to put Hunger Games on my list, and I haven't put Hunger Games on it because it's already a popular book. I wanted to go with ones. So we kind of have picked ones there where it's got a main girl character, haven't we?
Yeah, as you say, I didn't know if they were after a Katniss Everdeen or if they just wanted like a female that was the leader of the book and kind of pushed the narrative. So I kind of went for things like Stags because there's a main female character and she does overcome, you know, adversity in the book. Things a bright girl can do, because the narrative is driven by three female characters. So I just went for strong female narratives rather than like someone that's like, I'm going to save the day.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think that's kind of what I decided to go on as well, because I put in their frontline soldier girls, which has a group of girls in it, a bit like your Things a Bright Girl Can Do, and The Smell of Other People's Houses, which has four girls and their different stories. So I quite, yeah, that one, I wasn't, again, you know, I didn't want to go for Hunger Games and Katniss Everdeen. They've had lots of publicity. Obviously, they can find, everybody can find our list on Wakelet.
Yes, Wakelet. What is this Wakelet? You've done an amazing list.
Oh, I know. I really like Wakelet. I know. It was when I was doing one of the CPDs and Wakelet was mentioned about using it for your resources. And I went onto it and I found it a lot easier than Padlet to put stuff on. And you can do videos on it, all sorts of things. And I've now been using that as my little area to put things that we do in the Learning Lounge. So you can find it on Wakelet. You'll put the link on.
Oh yeah, the link to our Wakelet page will be in the description of this podcast, because it's a really good reading list for loads of different categories. So if your school's doing a summer bingo, or if you're not doing a summer bingo, you equally could do it and use our list if you want to. So that's the Summer Bingo Challenge, our reading list, and Wakelet. If you want to find out more about Wakelet, if you don't know much about it, just get in contact with Claire on her Twitter, which is
at Maris C Maris. Books.
Books. Now, I've not got many books to talk about, because I finished the first Phobos book, Ascension, by Victor Dixon. And you know what? Not to give too much away, but you know, I said I think they'll survive because there's another book in the series.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't end with them surviving or solving the issue.
Oh.
So I think potentially they might not survive. I think it could really be drawn out.
Ooh,
so that was
okay.
A shock. But yeah, it was quite good. I enjoyed it.
Oh, that's good. Well, I finished The Strange Worlds Travel Agency by L.D. Lipinski. Enjoyed that. I stuck that one in the magic list because it's full of magic. And I went on to read, because we got our Carnegie books, so I chose Lark by Anthony McGowan, because I've been desperate to read that one because it's a dyslexia-friendly Barrington Stoke book. Oh, I loved it. Oh, I cried.
Really?
Yeah, it's a follow-on story, and the characters are Nikki and Kenny, and Kenny, I think, is slightly autistic, and they go on a walk on the snowy moors, and they take their Jack Russell, who's called Tina, who they rescued, was a rescue dog, and she's a lovely, loyal Jack Russell, and they go on the moors, and of course, they get lost, and Nikki ends up having an accident, and Kenny goes off to find help, and Tina comes back to be with Kenny, and I won't say any more. And there's a background issue with regards to their mum, who left them years ago because she couldn't cope with Kenny, who was autistic, and the fact that the father was drinking heavily, and she went off to Canada, and she was coming over to see the boys, and she hadn't seen them for years. So they've had a really light. It talked a little bit about their background and the fact that the dad was drinking heavily for a while until he met this lady called Jenny, and that turned their life around a bit and everything was a lot better. And then, of course, they've gone and got themselves in this sticky situation on the snowy moors. But it was a really good book. I really enjoyed it.
You know, you said it's a follow-on. Does that mean you have to read the others to understand this book?
No, you don't. I think they feature in Brock, Pike and Rook. Because it says on the back of the book, follow Nikki and Kenny's story in Brock, Pike and Rook. So you don't have to, because it kind of keeps dropping back into the other stories just to let you know what happened. So, yeah, it was really good.
I started reading What Mama Left Me by Rennie Watson. And we picked this up in a Scholastic Book Fair. And it's a nice small book. So I thought, after I've read that mammoth of a sci-fi, I'm going to go for something very small. I would say it's kind of middle grade because the character's 13, but she seems a lot younger in the way that she presents. But the story is quite tragic, but I think Rennie's been quite clever in the way that she discusses the issues, so you never feel like you're traumatized by what's being said. But basically, Serenity's mother dies and they move in with their grandparents, but her mum was actually beaten to death by their abusive dad.
Oh, no.
And their dad ran away from the crime and he's a known drug dealer. And so it's all about Serenity kind of falling into this new life with her grandparents and basically growing up, but then thinking about if her dad's ever going to come back and what she would say to him if he did. But it's everything she does, she kind of always references back to her mum, because I think she was very similar to her mum. But I'm only about halfway through. She's made new friends, but she's kind of falling for this boy, Jay, who's a bit of a rude boy, into some illegal shenanigans, and he's kind of leading her brother, Danny, astray. So I think she's worried that her brother's going to turn into her father. I think it's all about your upbringing and if you do fall into the rhythm of your parents' footsteps.
And the other book that I'm reading is Lampy. I've picked it up on the Carnegie list by Annette Schapp. I think that's how you say it. I've only just really started it, but it reads really nicely and it's got really lovely illustrations in it. And I really like the font in the book. That sounds funny, but the main character in it is a girl called Lampy. She lives with her dad in the lighthouse, and her mum obviously died of an illness, and her father drinks heavily and he's got something wrong with his leg. And so Lampy's job is to light the lamp in the lighthouse every night. What happens is she runs out of matches and she forgets to buy some matches. So one night the lamp isn't lit and there's a big storm. And even though she tried to go and get matches, she ended up losing them. And a ship ended up being wrecked on one of the rocks. And so now the lighthouse has been held to sort of ransom with that. But I just wanted to read this bit because it was how they described, you know, when you somebody should take the blame. And the way they've sort of talked about this blame is how the author has done it is through a rotten egg. So I wanted to read it.
Okay.
Here we go. Augustus is so angry that he is shaking inside and he is frightened too. That ship, this is really bad. Someone has to be blamed for it. He is well aware of that. And how does blame work again? Blame is a rotten egg that is tossed to and fro from one person to the next, going around and around. No one wants to catch it. No one wants to have that mess all over them when it finally explodes. In his mind, he can picture it flying through the air. The person who has lost the cargo will throw the egg to the ship owner. The ship owner will toss it to the captain. The captain will then fling it to circumstances beyond his control. An act of God, the storm, those huge waves, that dangerous rock in the middle of the bay. But just you try taking a rock to court, try squeezing it slowly until all the money has been recovered. All you'd end up with is sore fingers. But who then? Who will catch the egg? Who will get the blame? Wait a moment. The lighthouse. It wasn't working. Negligence on the part of the town. The mayor glares at the councillor. The startled councillor stares at the harbour master. And the harbour master looks around for the person who... And suddenly everyone is looking in his direction. The lighthouse keeper, of course. That is where the egg needs to go. He sees it flying towards him. And it's about to burst. He can already smell the stinking muck inside it. He really wishes he had something to drink. He has finished everything. All he has is empty bottles and rusty water.
Oh, they can't blame it. Really, what are they going to get from a child, though?
I know. Well, nothing. They end up taking Lampy away and leaving Augustus. And they basically lock him up in the lighthouse. And he has to stay there for 7 years to basically earn out what's happened to the boat. And Lampy is sent to this house where she's got to work for 7 years. And I'm at that point.
Well, this sounds like a very dark story.
It is, but it's kind of really beautifully written, but really dark. Yeah, it's great. I'm really liking it.
So there's not long left of the summer term, believe it or not, but we will be back next week talking about more books and more library initiatives that we've been doing and what we've been up to. So it is goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.